officer would like to get in over there. Is it, can we open the door for him?
Over there?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you go around?
Was he just checking? He walked away.
Oh, he was just checking to see.
I'll see. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Your Honors, I would like to reserve any remaining time for rebuttal, if I may. My name is Jacqueline Tessendorf, and I represent the appellant Kenneth Nelson. And central to this case is what I believe the appellee will argue is that, much like we learned in fourth grade, that a quarter plus a quarter equals a half, and then a half plus a half equals a whole. But in this case, Your Honors, we're talking about a specific quarter section where a township line, which is a correction line, runs along the west side of that property and makes that 80 acres a short 80 acres. So the west half is not equal to the east half in area in this section. And what the evidence was at the lower court was that Douglas J. Nelson owned the entire quarter section of the southwest quarter. In 2001, he sold the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter. He hired a real estate agent. The real estate agent advertised it for sale. And the current tenants
Excuse
at that time...
When yes. he advertised it for sale, he did advertise it as a 40-acre tract, did he not?
Well, there was an advertisement in the paper, Your Honor, that is correct, that said 40 acres, but there was no specific legal description attached with that.
But there was that information provided at that time.
That is correct.
Okay, thank
but
you.
Then when the Rasmussens purchased the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter, the purchase agreement referred to the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter, and there was no mention of as into any acres.
And there was no mention as to the original plat.
That is correct. There was no mention as to the original plat, but there was no reference to them purchasing any type of area or acres. It was that legal.
So do you think that the contract, the way it was worded, was ambiguous or unambiguous?
I believe it was unambiguous, Your Honor.
So if it was unambiguous, then it doesn't matter about any of the other information, does it? It doesn't matter what the plat says. It doesn't matter what the paper says. It doesn't matter. It just you have to look at the four corners of the document, don't you?
I agree, Your Honor. You look at the four corners of the purchase agreement,
okay.
And then that's merged into the deed,
okay.
Which describes the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter.
Okay.
And that deed is recorded with the Register of Deeds, and then the county treasurer sends out a tax statement to the appellees in this case, which referred to the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter. In 2001, they were made aware that they purchased 34.04 acres.
Mm-hmm. And that was after the fact, after the purchase.
Yes, that the tax statements came out. But that is was the common knowledge that that was the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter. There was no dispute as to what they purchased. There was three parcels of land available in that quarter.
But don't we only know that there are there were three parcels available by looking at the government plat where it has lots three, lots four, and then the one other section?
And I think that is true, but when you look at the testimony of the county surveyor and based on his knowledge and expertise, when he surveyed the land, he looked at the deeds, and his testimony was that at some point people stopped referring to the government lots three and four and changed that legal description to the southwest quarter and the southwest quarter and the northwest quarter of the southwest quarter. But the evidence was that's what Mr. Rasmussen sold was the west half, which totaled the 68.04 acres, and that's consistent with how that land was surveyed originally and then how the parcels were offered later.
And when we get into looking at what the surveyor's testimony is, now we're outside the four corners of the document, aren't we?
But his testimony, yes, Your Honor, but ultimately the court did look outside the four corners and modified the four corners of the agreement to include part of the east half.
But you claim that was error.
I do claim that was error.
And if we agree with you, then we we should not look at anything outside of the document, correct?
I agree. You should only look at the two purchase agreements and then those, how they were merged into the deeds, and none of the other testimony as to the intent of the parties.
So how do you get around then the fact that the document speaks for itself? I mean, it says 1/4 of a half.
Well,
1/4 of 1/4, and the other side says that 1/4 of 1/4, so the total of the 1/4 of the 1/4 equals 1/2.
How I get around it, Your Honor, is that the 4th and the 4th equals the west half, and the west half contains 68.04 acres.
But where does it say that?
Your Honor, because of that township correction line, it's knowledge that that's how that west half, that's a short west half. And that's what Mr. Nelson sold.
When the purchase information was given to the treasurer or to the assessor's office, didn't that document also, though, indicate that there was 40 acres that were originally sold?
Yes, the 521, which is prepared by the purchaser, did mark 40 acres more or less. And that was filed with, that's the document.
I know we
that
can't consider that. Because, I know. But again, it just doesn't seem as clear to me as that you want to make it.
Yeah. Well, I want to make it clear because I think this case has implications beyond just this case. And part of that is if you look at the government survey, if you look at where how the township correction lines lie throughout this county, as you guys drove here, you know, the county lines or the township correction lines often are dirt roads that are marked by such as Madison, that split Madison and Platte County and Platte and Boone, and those correction lines run there. And the ground that lies along those correction lines, it's not a full quarter. It's not 160 acres. And the 80 that is adjacent to the correction line is usually short. So if a purchaser can assert that they purchased half of the half or half of the whole and that half equals the whole in the area, that changes the legal effect of deeds all along the correction line, especially if those deeds refer to a half of the quarter.
So isn't the implication, if you're dealing with this type of land, don't deed a fourth of a fourth, deed lots three, lots four?
Maybe, but the common knowledge of the Register of Deeds, the surveyors, I think people, when they know that farmers along those correction lines, they know that those quarters are short quarters and those 80s are short 80s. So it becomes a common term and changed throughout time that we don't necessarily refer to government 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It becomes the quarter of the quarter and the quarter, the south and the north, and then half of the half.
What evidence do we have in the record that Mr. Rasmussen knew that?
That fact that he paid the taxes on 34 acres starting in 2002.
Let me rephrase. What information do we have in the record that Mr. Rasmussen knew that at the time of his purchase?
I don't think there is any evidence, but there wasn't any evidence that he was buying part of the east half either. The evidence was that he bought these parcels, but he farmed the entire quarter section. The only evidence that there was any existence of a boundary line was when he measured that for crop sharing purposes, that he put a red flag in the middle of the farm. And it was questionable whether or not Doug Nelson was there when he observed that red flag. But David Rasmussen knew as early as 2001 and then again into 2006 that he was only paying taxes on a total of 68 acres. He shouldn't be able to come to court and say, no, I thought I bought half of the area. So we'd ask that you reverse the lower court and make it simple that those quarter sections, especially along the township correction line, should be delineated as their legal description. So notes, and I would reserve my remaining time for rebuttal if that's appropriate.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Good Good afternoon. I am James Aglia. I represent the Appleys in this case. At the outset, I will tell you that I'm seriously impaired with my hearing. And so if you ask a question and I look puzzled or give an inappropriate response, understand that it's the result of a defect in my hearing and not a mental defect. This case started out with an advertisement paper advertising 40 acres for sale. Mr. Rasmussen, who was familiar with the property and had farmed in a family partnership renting the property, responded to that sale bill, and entered into a contract for the purchase of the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter. Mr. Douglas Nelson, the seller, was represented by Realtor Dennis Fowkes. Mr. Fowkes prepared the documents. He prepared a Form 521, which is the real estate transfer statement, which said 40 acres on it. The title insurance documents did not indicate anything other than 40 acres, made no reference to lots 3 and 4 as they appear in the survey prepared in 1868, which is not on file in the Office of the Register of Deeds of Platte County and appears only in the State Surveyor's Office. Mr. Fox testified that as agent for the seller, he understood that the normal meaning would be given to the terms southwest quarter of the southwest quarter. And those that ordinary meaning, of course, is 1/4 of 4 equal parts, or one unit divided into 4 equal parts. He said that was the custom and practice in the real estate business in the area.
Mr. Aglia, would you agree with Ms. Tussendorf that the contracts are not ambiguous?
I would agree. I argue in my brief that the contract is not ambiguous.
And therefore, we shouldn't look outside at any other documents or testimony, but only construe it based upon what's in the actual deed or in the purchase agreement.
But precisely. The terms 1/4, 1/2 are not ambiguous. The trial court so found, and because the evidence of the appellees was consistent with those terms, the parole evidence rule had no application, and the court, having the duty to interpret the contract so as to determine the true intent of the parties, looked at all of the outside evidence beyond the corners of the contract. What the court looked at included the statements and testimony of Mr. Fowkes. I'll point out that the seller in this case did not participate in the trial, did not appear in the trial, had not filed an answer in the case, but after the case was tried and the parties addressed it, his attorney filed a motion for leave to file answer out of time. And the seller in this case, in his answer, stated, this defendant takes no position in this boundary dispute. And the court should just make determination as the premises merit. So I think it's clear in the briefs that the dispute didn't arise until 2011, many years after the Rasmussens took possession, and Douglas Nelson gifted a remainder interest to Kenneth Nelson in 2011, whereupon he constructed a fence where he thought the boundary line should be located.
And that was at the location would be 80 acres on his portion, as I understand.
Yes, yes. He chose to put the north-south line on the east boundary depicted by the government survey for lots 3 and 4. And the survey that we offered divided the entire quarter section into half. So We think that the court heard the testimony of Mr. Rasmussen, took note of the "I don't care" answer of the defendant Douglas Nelson, the seller, and noted that there was no dispute concerning this property for a substantial number of years between the actual parties to the transaction, the Rasmussens and Douglas Nelson. Only Kenneth Nelson, who was received the gifted remainder, ever made a dispute. And I think that's telling. Of course, one of the things the court looks at, the trial court looks at, is in determining the true intention of the parties, is how did the parties act under the terms of the contract. A red flag was placed in the ditch where a measurement had been made with the measuring wheel by Mr. Rasmussen to delineate the north-south line between the two tracks as contemplated by the parties to the transaction. Douglas Nelson, the seller, saw the red flag, and his only reaction was, "I always wondered where that line was." So he acknowledged that division line, acquiesced in that division line thereafter when it came to pay rent by the Rasmussens to Douglas for the east half. So we have the actions of the parties being the very best evidence of the of their intent. And of course, the trial court found that that indeed was important evidence. And of course, it's the law, as stated in several cases, that that type of acquiescence or acknowledgement should be given great weight, if not controlling weight, in deciding an issue such as this.
Mr. Egli, my only problem, first of all, I'm not sure we should even be considering a lot of this because it is outside the document. But as far as the red flag is concerned, when Douglas says, "I always wondered where that line was," how do we know what line he's referring to? How do we know that he's referring to the middle of the section as opposed to the line that shows up on the plat that gives 80 on his side and the lesser there on the other side?
The answer to that is that the red flag was placed on the midpoint between the east boundary line and the west boundary line. It was determined by a measuring wheel. So he was actually looking at the midpoint line. And
but he didn't say that, did he? At least I don't recall any evidence saying that he knew that that was the midpoint line. He just knew that that was the line that divided the two pieces of property. And whether or not it divided equally or not, I don't recall him saying that.
Well, there's certainly no evidence that he would have been thinking that that was the line, the east line of lots 3 and 4. There's no reason to believe he made a mistake. And the parties relied on that line in determining the rent to be paid by the sellers to Mr. Nelson. So he had reason to be sure, and it was where it was at the midpoint, and he acquiesced in it. And I think also we also have to come to the fact that nobody knew about the government survey. Nobody knew about lots 3 and 4. If lots 3 and 4 were what was going to be sold, that would have been in the contract, that would have been in the deed documents, that would have been in all the documentation, including the title insurance commitments. And we just have no reason to believe that the parties had any knowledge, and all of the evidence suggests that the parties did not have knowledge of that survey. It wasn't a public record in Platte County, and lots 3 and 4 were nowhere described. That survey does not, when it draws out those two lots, that survey does not label those lots as the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter, or the northwest quarter of the northwest quarter. It simply doesn't even say lot 3, lot 4. It just has a number, 3 and 4. And so I don't know how that survey could have any legal impact upon the parties and their intent when it did not, they just didn't know about it, and there was no reference to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How long did we take Mr. Eggly over?
28 seconds over, and then she has a minute to.
Would you add that to Ms. Tessendorf's time?
Thank you, Your Honors. I would just ask that you look at the deeds and find that they are unambiguous, that the Rasmussens purchased the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter and the northwest quarter of the southwest quarter. They didn't purchase part of the east half. The lower court erred when it gave the Rasmussens part of the east half. And we'd ask that you reverse the lower court and remand it, that the deeds be confirmed as they originally filed. There was no mistake, no fraud, no ambiguity in the documents, and just ask that the lower court be reversed. Thank you.
Let me just ask you real quick. If we don't look outside the deeds, then what effect is the handling of the taxes on this, if we're not looking outside the deeds?
If you don't look outside the deeds, if you're asking about like the payment of the taxes,
correct.
If you don't look outside the deeds, Your Honor, it'd be our position that the Rasmussens knew that they only owned the 68.04 acres as soon as 2006, and they didn't file this action until 2012.
And that goes to your statute of limitations.
That goes to my statute of limitations.
Right.
Which, now I'll ask, what statute of limitations are you using?
I looked at 25507, which was the fraud mistake statute, which would be the 4-year statute.
And under the assumption that this was fraud?
Well,
a mistake?
Under their assertion that the deed should be modified, that there was a mistake in the purchase agreements and that there was misrepresentation by, or at least there was some type of understanding that the seller was selling something different than he did sell, that they were purchasing more than what they actually did based on the deeds. So that was the statute.
And that's the argument you made to the lower court?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.